So we have a very special treat for you today. Around the world, there are men who have done great things for God that are still alive, and we have one of those with us. Jack has become a good friend. We serve together, teach together a little bit. We share together at Missions Fest Friday, I guess. And as we talked back and forth, there were some things I really wanted you to know. And so I've asked him to share those with us before he preaches, and I've told him that we won't hold him to that as a part of his time for preaching. So please don't. One of the things that we love about Cloverdale Baptist Church is, and you've heard it already in the testimonies, God uses ordinary people to accomplish incredible and mind-blowing things. So over 20 years ago, something like that, a normal person in our church, not a pastor, not an elder, not a deacon, but a normal person. I know those are all weird people that I just mentioned. A normal person had a heart for evangelism, a heart to see children reach for Jesus and their families, and started a program at Cloverdale Baptist Church. It wasn't easy to start. There was hiccups. It started to flourish, became a summer camp, and then a children's ministry has taken that thing that was started by an ordinary person at Cloverdale all around the world. Over 2 million kids have been introduced to Jesus or about Jesus with the gospel clear through the ministry that was started at Cloverdale Baptist Church. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Now you might say that's the coolest part of the story. It's not. So Jack, you were sharing with me about one of those stories. Could you share the story with everyone?
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Rob. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to expand high-powered soccer down into Brazil. Now, what is it they love in Brazil? Soccer. One of the most famous people in Brazil was a man named Juca Serpa. He was the captain of the Sao Paulo soccer team, the professional soccer team. And he went into ministry, and he came to work with us. And one day, we were out on the Amazon River in a boat going upriver, and we stopped at a village. And we got out, we began walking around the village, and he introduced himself. And before you know it, out came the chief. Out came all the people. They wanted to get a look at this guy. And as we talked, here was Juca, a man of God, looking for an opportunity to get the gospel out. He said, you know, I'm not only a soccer player, but I teach soccer. How would you like me to come back and teach your children how to play soccer better? We'll do a camp. And they opened that door to him. He started high power soccer there. And lots of those kids in the village came to Christ. And many of the adults came to Christ through the testimony of Juca. And this is what I believe makes Cloverdale Baptist Church unique. You folks birthed this ministry. And 2 years ago, Pastor Rob, Paul Weeby, and I got together, and we decided that it was time to start a new ministry that really created a partnership between the church and the home, pastor and parents, helping parents really get back in the game today as to mentoring and guiding and training their children in the ways and the truths of the Lord. So we're going to share something about that today through the course of our message.
So I was going to take you to Global Children's Network. You have taken us there. Let me just say this. So through our privilege of knowing you and your impact, high impact for the glory of God in the kingdom, it was shared, and this ministry started actually as an overflow of our hearts here at Cloverdale Baptist Church with Jack and a few other people. 10,000 children last year were in discipleship relationships. Is that what we call them?
That's right.
Being discipled and growing, and the dream is massive. So I think you'll share a little bit more of that. But what I wanted you to hear is ordinary people in an ordinary church in Podunk, Cloverdale, Podunkton, Saskatchewan work in wonderful British Columbia. Is that better?
Yeah.
Thank you. Is having an impact all over the world through ministries planted here, through people we love, pray for, and support. And it is exciting to be a part of the family of God, and I am proud to be your shepherd and have people like you come and share and on our behalf impact all over the world. So welcome.
Thank you, Pastor.
We're very excited to have you preach God's word to us.
Amen. Well, if two ministries could be birthed out of Cloverdale, I just wonder how many more ministries the Lord may bring to fruition through you, the people of this church. I think it's all based on the idea of vision and passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we unite our hearts, we want that gospel to go out into all the world. It is the door that God opens for his children. It is that kind of vision and passion that ignites us and causes us to dream dreams and to think of things way outside that context. Now, if you have your Bibles with me, go with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking to begin with this morning in Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. I'm going to read our passage of scripture, and then we're going to go verse by verse, and I hope that today I'll bring some insights that will really help you understand the importance of the church and the home partnering together to make Christ known in the world today. So before we read that, let me ask a question. How many parents do we have here? Raise your hand. Parents? Okay, all over the auditorium, so many hands. How many grandparents? My wife and I have 8 grandchildren. Did you discover that your grandchildren are a lot more fun than your kids ever were? We made that discovery right off the bat. And my wife and I are in cloud 9. We are having the time of our life with grandkids. We live down in Texas now, and we live on a little lake. And it's a great swimming lake, so we think ahead and we think about, boy, what could we do this summer? And we're having the time of our life. Now, in Psalm chapter 78, let's begin reading in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we've heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that in the generation or the next generation might show them the children yet unborn and arise and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, I love this portion of scripture. It's called a maskil. In fact, some of you in your Bibles may have that at the top of the actual chapter. It's called a maskil of Asaph. First of all, who was Asaph? Asaph was a musician. He worked for King David. By the way, what instrument did Asaph play? Does anybody know? Anybody know? You actually have it recorded back in 1 Samuel chapter 24. He played the brass cymbals. Hey, now that's an instrument, isn't it? In fact, I would like to go around North America over the next few years and encourage churches to bring brass cymbals onto the platform. Now, there's a reason for this. How many of us tend to stay up too late Saturday night? And we come to church on Sunday, and we do our best. And I know Pastor Rob is a great preacher, but you know, we start nodding off, and the eyes start closing. I believe that is the fundamental purpose of a brass cymbal. You could park this individual anywhere on the platform, and he just stands there, and he stands there quietly until he sees somebody nodding. And then, bang, he hits the brass cymbal. I just love that instrument, and that's what Asaph played. You know, years ago when I was preaching to a very large church in Mumbai, India, I was looking over at a huge musical section. They had all kinds of instruments, some of which I had seen before, some not, but there was one section of about 10 men, and they had gourds. You know the typical gourd that you get out of the garden. And they had beads all over them, and they were sitting there turning those gourds. And I caught that out of the corner of my eye, and the thought hit me, being kind of a non-musical person, that's an instrument I can play. So when I got up to preach, I thanked the musicians, and I especially thanked the gourd players. And I said, I would love to play the gourd with you someday. So after I preached, they had an invitation, and two of the men came over, grabbed me by the elbow, and came and brought me, and they set me right down in the middle of all these guys, and they gave me my own gourd. And I started cranking it right along with them. And it made this kind of a noise. And I thought, I've never heard a more beautiful sound in all my life because I'm playing that sound. By the way, I have not introduced it to the U.S. yet because it's just not going to fly. And it probably won't fly here in Vancouver as well. Well, Asaph, a musician, he wanted to teach us a lesson here. You see this Psalm chapter 78? It's got 72 verses, got a lot of verses. If you read through all those verses and you ask yourself, what's he trying to say here? You would come to the conclusion that he's wanting us to know this truth, that God's people must pass the faith on to the next generation. That we have a responsibility before the Lord to do well in handing that baton, transferring that faith to our children to such a degree that they will do likewise with their children someday. That is the heartbeat of Asaph. That is what this maskil, or this contemplation, is all about. By the way, what is a maskil? A maskil, actually, the word means enlightened. And it speaks of an enlightened person whose eyes have been opened because God has revealed truth to him. And now this person whose eyes are open, he's seriously contemplating this issue. So I want to open everybody's eyes today. God wants you to tell his story to your children. In fact, what is God's story? It's the story of redemption. It starts in Genesis 1, that story, and it goes all the way through Revelation chapter 22. And this Bible that we hold today is filled with stories. Let me give you something that will help you understand what we mean here. Let's go back and look in verse 2 of chapter 78. Asaph says this, I will open my mouth in what? A parable. What in the world is he talking about? Well, if you go with me over to Matthew chapter 13, listen to what it says about Jesus, because when you think of the word parable, you often think of Jesus, don't you? Because if you've ever read the Gospels, Jesus all the time was teaching in parables. In fact, listen to what it says here in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 13. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. Well, now, when all of these crowds tended to assemble on a daily basis, and that was the way that Jesus communicated divine truth, I suddenly pick up with interest the idea that God wants me to understand something. So one day, I did a little bit of a deep dive into parables, and I realized that parables are stories all of us can relate to. How about the woman that lost the coin? How about the prodigal son? Oh, there are so many parables. One day as I got to thinking about that, I wound up back in chapter 13. And listen to this. In verse 10 it says, when the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to everybody in parables? And he answered them. Here's Jesus' answer to his disciples. He said, to you it has been given, are you ready? To know the secrets of God. Whoa. To you, God's people. God wants you to know his truths, his secrets, the great things. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not been given. Now, he's speaking here of the Pharisees in essence. In other words, because of their pride, because they had come up with their own system of belief that had more to do with works than it did faith in what God has done for us, even a Pharisee that had degrees could not understand a simple parable, but a child can. And that's one of my points today. You're going to be amazed at how much children can comprehend mom and dad. Verse 12, for to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This, Jesus said, is why I speak in parables. In other words, when you come before Jesus and you have an open heart and you have ears to hear, he will fill your life with truth. But if you don't have ears to hear, if your heart is not right before the Lord, you're not going to get it. It's not going to mean anything to you. It's not going to move you. You're just going to go your way. That's extraordinary. And that's why I want to introduce to you, mom and dad, the idea that your children at that age of, let's say, 2 all the way up through 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they have ears to hear. And you, mom and dad, have been commissioned by God to be that storyteller to them. Now, I'm going to show you that in a moment. And you're suddenly going to see something that perhaps you've not seen before as to your role. Now, let me say something to you as a preface here. I was a pastor for a number of years down in California. And my wife and I have 4 children. And more often than not, I never did what Psalm chapter 78. So if somebody asked me, did you really train your children the way they should go in the home? I'll readily say to you, hardly. You know why? I was in the old school. You know what that is? God has called me to be a holy chauffeur. My job is to drive the kids to church. We get them into church, bang, we put them in the box, and we hope by the time they're 18, they have hearts that love Jesus. But research tells us didn't happen according to the way we thought it should be. And you know why? Because there was something missing. The church and the home have to get it together in a way that I don't believe in Western civilization we've done a lot of work with over the last few generations. Well, let's take a look at this. Let's go now to verse 3 here. In verse 3, and this is such a key verse. Verse 3, it says, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. Stop right there. My father didn't tell me anything. Did he? Did your father tell you anything? Now, some of you, praise God, if your father did. My father didn't tell me. The only spiritual remembrance I have of my father, and that is one day at the age of 10, I walked into his bedroom and he had the Bible open. And he was actually reading it. And I found that rather strange. But my father never told me one story from God's word. You know why? He didn't think it was his job. He didn't think he was responsible for that. Getting us as a family to go to church every now and then. Now, he resonated with that. He could easily delegate that responsibility. How many of you know Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart. Is that a mandate to the church, to the village, to the government, or to the parents? I think all of you will recognize that was a mandate given to every mother and father of faith. Now listen to what verse 3 says again. Things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. What things? Inside a parable is a truth. That's what Jesus wants us to get. when he tells a story, the truth is inside the story. And when you listen with your heart, God unveils that to you, and you become an enlightened one. And fathers and mothers, we need to be in the Word. And as we are in the Word, and as the Word of God makes these impressions upon our own hearts and lives, then we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through us, and He compels us to be storytellers. I had a lady say to me the other day, "Well, Jack, you don't understand. I'm not a very good storyteller." And I said, "Well, you know, storytelling really is a learned skill. We can teach you how to be a great storyteller. But you need to come along with us on this journey. Practice makes perfect. Let's just get started." And you know, oftentimes when we can just get parents telling God's stories, they begin to get it. And the lights go on and they become most enlightened parents. And great and mighty things begin to happen in their home with their own kids. Things that we have heard and known that our fathers told us. What does he mean by things? He's talking about the truths, the guidelines of Scripture, the ways of God. We know these things. How? Because our fathers taught us. Now, I don't want to be too convicting today. I want the Holy Spirit really to convict hearts. But dads, let me speak to you for a moment. How many of us do that? I was a pastor. I didn't do that. How many of us take the time to recognize my role is to be God's storyteller, and I'm going to share the stories of Scripture? My wife and I have four children. Our third one, her name is Jessica. She's a mom of two. She had breast cancer, almost died. Right now, we believe that she's in remission. We're praising God every day for every day he gives her. But she's got two boys, Daniel and Jackson, 10 years old, 8 years old. And we just cry out to God, "Oh, Lord, let her live." She's still going through treatment. And so her boys were at our house. And as I came across this not very long ago, I said, wow, you know, we're talking generations here, as you're going to see in a minute. You know what? I need to start telling these stories, even if it's to my grandchildren. So Daniel and Jackson were getting ready for bed. And I said to my wife, Donna, I'm going to go tell the boys a story. Now, the truth is, I used to tell kids stories, but they weren't necessarily Bible stories. I used to tell them scary stories. I used to tell them adventure stories. And then they would wind up in our bed because they were too scared to go to sleep. And she said, "Well, what are you going to tell him?" I said, "I think I'll start with Joseph. I just love Joseph. He's such a great story." So I go in there, and Jackson and Daniel are in our little guest room, and there's a queen-size bed in there, and they're getting ready to go to sleep. And I sit down at the end of the bed, and I say, "Hey, guys, let me tell you a story." Well, immediately they pick up, like, "Whoa, okay. What kid doesn't want to hear a story?" By the way, let me pause there. Do you know that you're made in the image of God and that you are a creature of stories? How many of you like to go to a movie? How many of us like movies? All of us. Well, what is a movie? It's a story. We like stories because our God is a God of story. In fact, the drama of the ages is one big story that someday we will understand more thoroughly. But for now, he calls us to walk by faith. So I started with Joseph. I built a picture around his early life, the mistakes of Jacob, you know, in favoring Joseph, the jealousy of his brothers, and I bring that story to where they're now sending him off into slavery. And the brothers are sitting back there. Now, I embellish the story a little bit, you know, and brothers are sitting back there saying, "Yeah, we got rid of Joseph." And I said, "Now imagine Joseph. They probably have him strapped down. He has no idea where he's going, but he's not going to be home anymore." And I say to the boys, "Okay, tomorrow night, little 8-year-old Jackson howled and he said, 'No, I can't sleep now.'" And I went home and so excited. I went downstairs and excitedly said to my wife, Jackson can't sleep because the story was really good. Wow. You know, what an opportunity, Dad, to really get into the hearts and the minds and shaping and molding our children when we take the time to read the Bible and as a reflector of God's truth, God's light from above, we simply tell them stories. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't even have to explain all the stories in infinite detail because the Holy Spirit is there to guide and to teach. We just need to be part of this. Every day, in every way. I don't know if many of you remember, I was here last year and I spoke to you on Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's the mandate to parents that Moses gave before he said goodbye to Israel. Any of you remember the problem and the question that no doubt the people had when he began to tell the parents, you've got to train your children. You've got to shape your children. You've got to sharpen your children, which is literally the Hebrew word that they were describing. No doubt, just like us today, here's how we think, dads. Well, let me see if I can put that in the proper box. Box, time and space. When do you want me to do it? Where do you want me to do it? Give that to me, Lord. What day of the week? What hour of what day? And you know what Moses said? I'll tell you when to do it. When you get up in the morning and until you go to bed at night. Let me tell you where to do it, Moses said. When you're in your house and when you're out of your house. Is there any other place? And then he also talked about the position we're in. When you're in leisure, sitting in your chair, or when you're walking. That's when you do it. Now, how many of you look at that and say, wait a minute. I can't do that continually, perpetually. Oh, you can. It doesn't mean you're doing it all the time. It means you're focused. And as we wrestled with this, as Paul Weemy and Pastor Rob and I wrestled with this, you know, we got to thinking, well, how do we reactivate dads and moms in the home again? How do we get them back in the game in a big way where the Lord greatly blesses them? We started a ministry, a partnership ministry called Malachi Kids. You know why we used Malachi? Because in the last two verses of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, it says that in the last days, God will send Elijah and he'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to their kids and the hearts of the kids in response back to their fathers. As one day we were thinking about that, we thought, we don't know where this Elijah is, but this is a great idea. And so what we've done in Malachi Kids, we've simply put together an idea and we call it God's Big Story. God wants his story to be told to the world. And every single one of us that are in Christ, we have been designated his storytellers. We are to reveal God's truths through the stories we tell, beginning with our own kids at home. Boy, this has been very enlightening for me. And so here's what we did. Put together a children's thing, get together. We train master storytellers. And these master storytellers, they bring the kids together and they tell one of the big stories of Scripture. They're all chronological. We have 97 stories to begin with. And the kids, they learn the big story and then they go into small groups according to their ages. Now listen here. The kids, with teenagers leading and participating, they do deep dives into the stories to find the truths, those wonderful nuggets of truth that God has in all his stories. And then they break into groups of two, and the children practice telling the stories to each other. And that time ends with all the children, the youth, and even the adults that work with them being commissioned to go tell God's story. From an early age, we are making our children missional. We're giving them the mind and the idea that we are all in this. We are all part of God's great story, part of his great mission. But the best part is yet to come. Dad and Mom, we train you. This is how we do it. We say, Dad and Mom, when your child comes home, you do three things. One, you ask your child to tell the story. And your child embraces that, and your child tells the story that he or she learned that night. And then, listen up, Dad, because this is the hard part. As the child is telling the story, listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart. Because if you get distracted, if you have the TV on, if you've got the phone ringing or whatever else could get in the way, it will be received as rejection. But if you listen with your heart and you follow your child's story and you lift your child up with praise, that child will grow up to be one of the greatest storytellers in the world, I promise you. And the last thing is this. Dads and moms, just talk with them a few minutes. Ask a few questions. Talk about the story. Dads, we're not asking you to pontificate. We're not asking you to get a degree in theology. We're not asking you to do anything other. Just ask a few questions and be part of it. Here's what we discovered as we tested this first in Africa, and now it's spreading in countries across the world. At the end of this year, we'll be in over 20 countries because pastors and parents are beginning to get the idea we need to do this together, no longer separate and in isolation of one another. What an amazing door God has opened here. So let me finish. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children. How do you hide God's stories? You just don't tell them. You know, in a sense, I could look at my dad. By the way, my dad came to Christ in faith when he was 60 years old. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He was a deacon in a Baptist church after he came to Christ. So great ending to a very interesting life. But listen, in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. So real quickly, let me give you a little instruction here that Asaph gives. Asaph sets forth some simple parental duties here. Number one, he says, don't hide God's word from your children. That means you are responsible to tell God's stories to your children. Number two, he says here that when you tell those stories, you're going to lift up the Lord. He says here, we're going to tell of the glorious deeds of the Lord, his might, and the wonders he has done. That's what happens when you tell the stories. All this stuff starts popping up, and it awes the children because they're getting glimpses of God. What are the four great themes of Scripture? There's really four. God, man, sin, salvation. All of those connect into God's great story, the story of redemption. And God says to every dad, every mom, you need to be part of that story. You need to be active in that story. You need to be telling my story to your children. And you need to live out those stories in your life. The third one, teach truth. Teach the statutes. Teach the morals. But here's the interesting thing about it. As you teach the stories, you will suddenly begin to discover these things just have a way of popping up. And I really believe this. When we begin to have spiritual conversation in the home, that it begins to extend itself from one day a week, one conversation, to every day of the week. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me give you a principle here that we've discovered. If you learn, Dad and Mom, to have spiritual talk with your kids when they're young, and you stick with it, when they get into those difficult teen years, you're there. They have confidence in you. You are their confidant. They will talk to you. You will continue to pour into their lives. But if you don't have spiritual talk with them as little kids, and you don't continue that, you will find it nigh on impossible to do that when they get older and they really, really need your help in the troubles of life. Now, grandparents, it's your turn. Let me share a final couple thoughts here. He says in verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob. Did you ever stop to think that you have a testimony too? He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn. Now he's talking here multi-generations, and arise and tell them to their children. When I talk to grandparents today, the attitude generally is, hey, I'm a grandparent, what can I do? Oh my goodness, you can do a lot. You are still a person of influence. Keep influencing your children and their children, your grandchildren, in the ways of God. And you do this by finding ways to just tell stories. And you know, I do that now as my grandkids, 8 grandkids, when they come into our home, I'm always thinking, okay, it's story time. Let's talk about scriptures. And we are doing it so naturally now that everybody gets into these conversations about different stories in the scriptures. And our children are getting all of that influence and all of that good stuff poured into their very lives. So that's why we started Malachi Kids. We thought, is there a place in this world today for a ministry that has no other real purpose than to unite the church and the parents in the home, so that every home would become this fabulous point of light, so that the church would reflect Jesus, so the church would be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus throughout the community and the very world that we live in. So I want to encourage you, please bless this ministry of Pastor Rob and myself and Paul Weamy. Help us take it to the ends of the earth. And maybe God will give you the opportunity to do more ministry and open up new doors to lost mankind. The big excitement right now, we're going into India this year. This last week, we just had our first training conference with about 100 churches in the city of Nagpur. By the end of this year, we're going to be in 5 languages, 5 major cities, and we believe by the end of this year, in India alone, we will be working with 50,000 children. Would you like to be a part of that? Please, in the back, go by our booth and talk with us. We want to encourage everybody to be a part of this amazing thing that God is doing. And is it possible in these final days before Jesus comes again, is it possible that we could really turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children? Fathers, listen to me with your heart. I believe we can. But you know what? God uses people. God uses his people together. And that influence pours out into the world. Thank you, Cloverdale, for being a church of influence, for being a church of open possibilities, as you have already witnessed through high-powered soccer camps around the world today, through the ministry now of Malachi Kids as part of our Global Children's Network. May God bless you, and may the Lord lift you up as a church so that you might be a mighty light to many thousands of churches across North America and the world. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your wondrous love for us. Lord, stir our hearts, especially the hearts, O Lord, of the fathers. Help us to realize you have given us an unprecedented opportunity, an open door, to not just be light to our own children, but to show others how through the telling of your stories, your truth grows into all of the world. Bless us, O Lord. Give us a vision. Give us passion, O Lord, for your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.